The early Christians never had a Bible, but they could still listen because they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. We need to be more dependent on the Holy Spirit this year. One of the first things we read in the Bible, when God created man, immediately after He created him, He had a whole day of fellowship with Him. That's how their life began. The first day that Adam lived on earth was a day of fellowship with God. And based on that fellowship with God, from the next day, he was tested. That's what we read in the Bible. God created man, he had fellowship with him, and he tested him. God brought you and me to new birth, if you have been born again, primarily so that you can have fellowship with him. And we must develop that this year. And then he will test us. Jesus was tested in the wilderness. Throughout those 40 days, and the last three testings we see, but he was tested in many, many ways. And I'm sure in those 30 years that he was in Jerusalem, in Nazareth, also he was tested in numerous situations in his home, how he would react to his parents, how he would react to his irritating brothers and sisters. And it's only at the end of that period of 30 years, not one or two days, that the Father said, I'm well pleased with you. Now I anoint you. Go forth into fulfill my ministry. Many Christians would like to take a shortcut to try and, oh God, fill me, anoint me with the Holy Spirit. Don't test me or anything. Just fill me with the Holy Spirit and make me a mighty servant of God. You can pray that for 100 years. Nothing will happen. Because if you fail in the test, God is not going to say, I'm well pleased with you. God, this title given to God in Jeremiah, he's a God who examines our heart. Jeremiah spoke to him and said, Lord, you who test the righteous. Jeremiah 12, the Lord says, now Jeremiah says, in the middle of verse 3, you examine my heart's attitude towards you. You're a God who examines my heart's attitude towards you. Do you believe God is like that? He's always examining our heart's attitude towards Him. While human beings around us judge us by our appearance and the way we dress and the way our position in life and all types of worthless things, God examines our heart's attitude towards Him. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, God told Samuel. And one way He examines our heart's attitude towards Him, and He's going to do that throughout this year, is by seeing what is our attitude to other people. Because, you know, John says at the end of his life, in 1 John 4, the last verse, if you say that you love God, that your heart's attitude toward God is right, but your heart's attitude towards your brother is not right, you don't love him, you're a liar. You're not a believer, you're just a plain old liar, or perhaps thoroughly deceived. Now, I don't want to be deceived, I'll tell you that. I do not want to be deceived during my earthly life and discover when I stand before the Lord in the final day, as all of us will stand. We are approaching the coming of the Lord, and the day will come, and you and I will stand one by one by one before the Lord to give an account of our life to Him. I do not want to discover in that day that I fooled myself, that I was a spiritual person because other people thought I was that, or because I had a ministry or a gift, or because I belonged to CFC, or because I did a few good things here and there. I do not want to be deceived. And I would urge you to fear God and reverence Him and make sure you're not deceived. And I'll tell you this, I'll guarantee you that if you love the truth about yourself, you will never be deceived. Love the truth. I've decided many years ago to wholeheartedly love the truth about myself. When I hear it from God, when I hear it from other people, I say, yes, Lord, there is some truth there. And like Tozer once said, if men knew me as intimately as I know myself, they will never spend their time praising me and appreciating me. If men knew you as intimately as you know yourself, some of those praises that people give you may not be valid. So it's good for us to live before God's face and allow Him to examine our hearts so that we're not disturbed by people's criticism and we're not excited by their praise. Because we continue to live before God's face and that's all that matters. When, you know, Jesus said that the two commandments that were primary was to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbors, ourselves, or as Jesus expanded it to say, to love one another as He loved us. And I think it's easier to love God than to love others. I think you'll all agree with me. Because it's easier to love someone who's perfect. I mean, imagine if you have a perfect neighbor who's always so kind and good. Is it difficult loving him? That's why we find it easy to love God, or we think we are loving God. He's so perfect. He never does anything wrong. But when we live on earth, we are surrounded by people, and even this year you will discover throughout the year that you'll meet people and even believers who let you down and who don't measure up to the way you think they should behave. And then the Lord will examine my heart's attitude towards Him to see whether I can receive that person in the same way that Christ received me. That's all. Jesus never asks us to do anything that He did not do Himself. That's a great comfort to me. He never, you know, in the military we were taught that if you're an officer, you must never ask your soldier to go somewhere where you're scared to go. You may never ask him to do a task that you're scared to do. And Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Never asks us to do what He hasn't done Himself. If He asks you to love an unlovely person, it's because He loved an unlovely person like you. He never asks us to do something He hasn't done Himself. Unless you are so proud and conceited to think that you're such a lovely creature whom Jesus loved. No, I'm not. I know Jesus loved me in my sin, when I had no interest in Him. And He says, receive. And when Christ first received me, way back 50 years ago, I'm sure there were a million things wrong in my life, which hadn't all changed. I mean, even now, there's so many things still that need to be rectified in my life of selfishness and hidden pride, and I don't know what else there is. But He receives. We often say that He rejoices over us with shouts of joy, not because we are perfect. It's like a mother who's rejoicing over a child who's not perfect in many ways, who's got sicknesses, but rejoices that the child is there, hates those sicknesses and tries his best to get rid of those sicknesses, but loves the child. That's how God loves every one of us. And He examines our heart's attitude towards others.